Welcome to the Let Good Things In show. I'm your host, Amanda Acker. I am so happy you are here. At the Let Good Things In show, we talk all about second chances, resiliency, following your intuition, and even music. Listen to hear stories of hope and to be inspired. Remember, you are stronger than you think. Let's dive in. Hi, my amazing humans. Thank you so much for tuning in today. On last week's episode, I spoke about my experience after being arrested and going to jail. On this week's episode, I want to tell you the first part of my experience of being out of jail, but also not knowing whether or not I was going to go back. And I call this my, how do I even say it? This was my literal living in hell. It was like living between not knowing if you were going to wake up the next morning and be the same person you were the day before, and being in this state of mind that I can't really even put into words right now. So I'm going to dive into this story, and I'm thinking this is going to be a two-parter because there's a lot to this story and I learned a lot. And I just want to make sure that I get everything out. So it may take two episodes. Leaving jail, I remember they give you the same clothes that you had on when you came in. So I'm taking off my jailhouse clothes and putting on these clothes that smell horrendously bad, like BO to the max, like hello, walking taco stand. And just the memory of what had transpired a week prior when I was involved with this crime. And I remember they just release you. Like, there's no taxi there to pick you up. There's nobody there, you know, to greet you and take you to your next destination. You're kind of just thrown out into the world. And at the time, I was dirt poor. So it's not as if, you know, the whole reason why I committed the crime was because of money and other things as well. But money was a factor. So it's not like I had money in my wallet of my purse when I left to be able to call a cab in the first place. So I'm in the city and I'm in these stinky clothes and I'm walking for what felt like an eternity. And remember, I just need to find a payphone. Yes, back then, there were still payphones, but they were far and few between because cell phones were starting to take over. So it wasn't as if there was one on every street corner. So I had to walk quite some way to get to a payphone and then call my mother, Collect, to come get me. And she did. And I remember her picking me up, and I still had to walk pretty far to get to a place where she knew because she wasn't comfortable just driving downtown, which a lot of people aren't. I guess it's, you know, it's intimidating if you don't do it all the time because there's a lot of traffic. So I remember walking across the bridge and just feeling disgusting and so mad at myself and ashamed. I smelled really bad. My hair was gross. And I didn't know if I had a place to go to sleep that night. My mother picks me up and we go to her house. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do? How am I going to have a home again? And how am I going to live through this experience? So at the time, I decided it was a great idea to go and move back in with my ex, who I had broken up with because I was no longer in love with him. But to my defense, he is the reason why I got bailed out. So I figured I'd give it another try. And it was almost like I was living somebody else's life. I felt like I was constantly dreaming. And I remember I decided, all right, I'm going to live my life right. And I'm going to do everything I can to make myself a productive member of society so that when it comes time for sentencing, I have a leg to stand on so that I don't go back to jail. And so I decided to do this by going back to school. And I remember going to school in the city and taking a bus to get there and meeting all these people, but I always felt fear because I was trying to better myself, but at the same time had this weight of this court case pulling me back down. It was like, oh, Amanda, yes, you're going back to school, but if you get convicted of these crimes, what's the point? It doesn't matter. So needless to say, I ended up finding another guy. And even though I knew it was a really bad choice to date someone while living with someone, right? That's cheating. And goes against all of my morals and values, I saw him as an escape from my reality. He was telling me things like, oh, you know, I can help you and, you know, we're going to do all these wonderful things together and I'm going to help you with your son and you can get away from this guy who had a really bad drinking problem. And so I went with him and I broke up with my ex again and I started dating this guy. I had this friend too. This is also an important factor. So I had this friend and I would hang out with her and, you know, I was living this fast lifestyle still. So even though I started off trying to go down the right path, I still was looking for validation from outside sources. So I was taking on friendships that were toxic. I was using drugs. I was drinking again. I was having, you know, frivolous relationships with people. I was doing things that did not equal me trying to better myself because I truly, underneath everything, felt like I just wasn't good enough. And now I have this criminal record weighing over me, not knowing if it was going to stick or not, not knowing if I was going to get sentenced to be in prison, not just county jail that I had already visited for a week, but prison. And the fear of that kept me from seeing myself as worthy of anything good. I kept making these bad choices. So since I was dating this guy and I was still living with my ex, even though we weren't actually together anymore, and I was hanging out with this girlfriend of mine, and we would go to this bar by where she was living, and there was a bartender there who was much, much older than me, but he was very nice to me. And I remember not, you know, 100% remember because, like I said, I was drinking a lot. But I remember talking to him and him telling me that I could move in with him, that me and my son could live with him and there would be no strings attached. And even though, you know, what I had been through, that the things that transpired to get me to jail and all of these things was an older man. Who knows why Amanda thought that's a great idea. So now I can release myself from my ex and not feel guilty about dating this new guy anymore. And we could, you know, have this life together, living under somebody else's roof. Like, now when I'm saying it, it just sounds absolutely ridiculous. And it was. But this guy never did anything out of line. I will say that even though we were drinking together and smoking weed together and making bad choices together, he always respected me. He never made me feel like I wasn't worthy. But at the time, I rejected that. I rejected him and I ruined that friendship because I kept having my boyfriend stay with us. So now it was me, my boyfriend, my son, and this older guy living under the same roof. And I remember that really did not sit well with this guy. And he really didn't want my boyfriend there. But I just kept insisting, no, like, he's really good. He's a good person. He's going to help me and my son, and we're going to be out of here anyway. Well, this guy that I was dating didn't have a job, didn't have a vehicle, didn't complete school, didn't do a lot of the things that, you know, when we're looking for someone to be a partner with us in life that we look for. But in my mind, in my very codependent mind, I thought I could fix him. Yep, I was on my mission to fix this guy because I thought that he was a good person. Hey, and he might be a good person. Who am I to judge him? But he wasn't good for me. He was actually really bad for me. So with the him not working and me trying to get into school and, you know, trying really hard, but being bogged down because I was drinking and smoking and doing all these bad things still and having these toxic relationships, plus my mind was so confused and scared at all times. It's not as if I was able to see the big picture because I didn't know. So the next part of my story and what led to extremely dark times was this moment. I'll never forget this moment. It was just me and my boyfriend at the house, and we were looking through the ads in the newspaper for jobs. And I saw that there was a strip club looking for amateur dancers. And I jokingly said, oh, I should do that. I should go be a stripper because I can make good money and we'll be set. Not thinking of the bad part of me becoming a stripper. And my boyfriend did not say, no, Amanda, you should not do that. Let's find something else or something we can do together to make money, to give us a better life. He encouraged me. He told me it was a great idea and that he would babysit my son so I could go and take my clothes off for money. So now I'm validated in this choice that deep down inside I knew was a really, really bad idea. And embarking into this journey of being a stripper and the lifestyle that came along with it, I had no idea what I was about to walk into. So I go to amateur night, and I remember the girls and feeling like, wow, like they all welcomed me. They were helping me, you know, do my hair and my makeup, and they were just seemed so nice. And most of them were. We were all in this together. We were all trying to survive the only way we knew how. There was women there from all walks of life. There were women who had money, who were poor, who did drugs, who were sober. There was women who were beautiful. There was women who, you know, weren't physically beautiful. But we all came together. And I thought, wow, like this is where I needed to be. Why didn't I think of this sooner? This is perfect. I have instant girlfriends. I can make money and I'm going to be good. This is going to be exactly what I need. And it solidified it. It made me feel like I had done something right for once. And maybe this is what I was supposed to be doing. And I remember it started off fine. I mean, yes, I was taking my clothes off for money, which probably isn't great, but I didn't have any like negative feelings about it at first. Because in my mind, I was doing what was good for my family by making the money, and I was coming home every night. You know, when you hear about strippers and that lifestyle, you hear a lot of horror stories. And I remember thinking, huh, like that must not be the reality. Or maybe I found the diamond in the rough strip club with women who don't treat each other like shit. Well, my outlook on it was wrong. And soon, this lifestyle of being a stripper changed me. I remember I worked pretty much 7 days a week, constantly working. And at first I told myself I wasn't going to drink while I worked. Well, then I would start to get nervous. So I said, okay, I'll have one drink, take the edge off. Well, that quickly became Amanda getting wasted 7 nights a week, dancing 7 nights a week, doing coke, and putting myself in situations that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. There was one point where I met a guy who I thought was wonderful. And so I started to have a hard time separating the fact that this was a job and not to fall in love with the clientele. Because I was drinking, when someone would show me attention, I thought he liked me. I thought I was going to be saved from the relationship that I didn't know how to get out of. You know, as I tell this story, which there's a lot more to it, but as I'm telling this to you, I'm having these flashbacks of what it felt like. And damn, was I strong. Damn, did I get myself in situations that I should not have survived. But I did. Something was protecting me. And if we go back to the boyfriend, who didn't get a job, mind you. I think he may have worked like 3 days out of our whole relationship. But I ended up leaving that house with that guy because I knew that he wasn't comfortable with what I was doing. So I no longer wanted to put him through that. I valued him, but I couldn't stay because I thought I didn't deserve him as a friend. He tried so hard to protect me, and I rejected him every single fucking time. Telling me that I should not be taking my clothes off. Telling me that I was worth something, but I did not believe him. So I ended up moving into a hotel. It was like one of those shitty, you know, monthly, weekly rental hotels where, you know, prostitutes and drug dealers and just not good people are living. I lived there too. I did too. I was no different. I allowed the lifestyle to take over who I was. I no longer knew what the fuck I was doing. And I was scared to death every single fucking day that I wasn't going to wake up, or that I was going to lose my son permanently, or that I was going to go away for an extremely long time. And I couldn't stop myself from making these bad choices because I truly thought that's who I was and who I always would be. Living amongst all of these people, I solidified the fact that that's who I was. And it got really bad when I started to date these men. I had a situation where I agreed to have one of these men drive me home from the club. And he tried really hard to take advantage of me. I don't know how I got myself out of that situation, but I remember what it felt like saying, no, please don't touch me. And this man, you know, mind you, I'm this tiny 100-pound drunk stripper, and this guy was probably 6'4" and muscular, trying to take advantage of me in the front seat of his vehicle. But somehow I got away. I had a situation where someone was trying to sexually assault me in a private room. I don't know what came over me that night. There was a cinder block behind the private room, like the couch thing that you would sit on. And I remember taking his hands into my hands and slamming his knuckles into the cinder blocks and dragging them down and telling him if he ever fucking touched me again that I was going to hurt him. That's not who I am. Yeah, it felt great, but I shouldn't have been there in the first place. Looking back, I had so many opportunities to not be this person I had become. But when you don't know what's going to happen next, and when your self-worth is literally negative, like not even zero, like we're below zero now, the choices you make reflect that. The choices I was making and the people I was choosing to be around were a reflection of what I thought of myself. I thought I was a piece of shit, someone who would have sex for money. I thought I was somebody who needed outside validation of my beauty to be good enough. So I attracted the people, places, and things that validated who I thought I was. Eventually, I met another guy. Promised me the world. I'm going to take care of you, your son. Everything's going to be perfect. And you won't have to strip anymore. Well, shit. Sign me up. And I think I'm going to save that part of my journey for the next episode because there's a lot there. And everything I've shared with you today was not easy. I don't like telling people that I was a stripper or that I had been sexually assaulted multiple times because of choices I made. You know, it's not like I had to be in those situations, but I truly thought that's what I deserved. And that is why I needed to tell you some of this. Because I want you to know what I wish someone would have told me back then, loud enough so I could hear it. Even in your darkest hour, even when you've made a mistake that knocks you on your ass, you deserve greatness. You don't deserve to be in situations where your choices are live or die on a regular basis. You deserve freedom and clarity and positivity in your life. I deserved it then, and you deserve it too. You deserve the good things. You deserve to have good people surrounding you and supporting you, no matter what. With that, I'm going to end my storytelling for today, and I just want to remind you of a few things. I want you to know, those of you who are listening, again, that it's okay to hurt. It's okay to be not okay. Please, if you are suffering, reach out to someone you trust. I want you to know, again, that sometimes life fucking sucks and it's hard, but you deserve support. You deserve to be heard. So my affirmations for you from this episode are, and who knows, I may have said these ones already, but this is what's striking me in this moment. I am worthy of the good things in life, regardless of what I have been through. I am worthy of the good things in life, regardless of what I have been through. I deserve support and positive people in my life. I deserve support and positive people in my life. I am worthy. I am worthy. I'm going to say that one again. I am worthy. Stay tuned. Next week, I will continue telling this story where I left it off. You know, I will be totally transparent here. Some of these memories that I have are very jumbled in my brain because of the trauma attached to them. So some of these things may not be in sequential order, but I need you to hear them and know that you are not alone in your pain and that there is a brighter path waiting for you. You can have a good life. And that will be next Monday's episode. And again, I really appreciate all of you for listening. And if you haven't already, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. And remember, you are stronger than you think, and you can have the life you imagine, regardless of your past. Make sure to hit that subscribe or follow button so you don't miss an episode of the show, and I will talk to you all soon.